CBS not having the NFL, I mean, having Major League Baseball, this was such a great theme. And you know how they brought back the John Tesh theme from NBC, and now Fox bought it? Somebody should buy this theme. Absolutely awesome. John Parado remembers this theme. Covering Major League Baseball, USA Today. He joins us now on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. John, was the best team in Major League Baseball since 4th of July hiding in plain sight in the Nationals and just not enough of us took notice of it?
Yeah, I think you're right, John. And by the way, I love that theme too.
Didn't you love it?
One of my all-time favorite sports.
Oh, I love it.
Television themes ever, no doubt.
Absolutely awesome.
But, yeah, tremendous. But, yeah, you know, you're right. I think a lot of people in their minds wrote the Nationals off when they go out to that 19-31 start through 50 games. And I just think that a lot of, you know, including myself to an extent, didn't truly realize they've now played since that 50th game of the season on May 23rd. They've played at a 666 clip.
That's crazy.
Postseason. It's amazing. And I mean, this isn't for a month or 2 months. This is for 5 months now almost that they played at a 666 clip. And I saw the Nationals caught up with them toward the end of August. And I was talking to Adam Eaton, a right fielder, and he said, you know, I'm not trying to give you the woe is us speech or anything. He said, but I do think people were overlooking us. And he goes, and at this time, you've got to remember, it wasn't a sure thing they were going to get to the playoffs at that point. He said, if we can get to October, he said, we're going to be dangerous. I really believe if we can get that far with our starting pitching, we can stack up and beat anybody in a short series. He said, and if I were other teams in the National League, I'd be a little wary of us getting into the postseason.
Here's what I look at, though, with them, too, is that I didn't buy into them because of the fact that in the second half of the year, when they faced the Atlanta Braves, they wet the bed. The Braves just dominated them, pushed them around. And so I said, okay, they're really, really good until push came to shove, and then they get knocked around by the Braves. And the Braves are home watching the Nats do this. They're two games from the World Series.
Yeah, and you know that's the strange thing about baseball compared to the other major sports is you don't have to have the same team that got you to the playoffs, because all of a sudden everything changes. There's more off days, the series are shorter, and teams that are built for the long haul like Atlanta aren't necessarily built better for October. And if you look at the Nationals, with being reliant so much on starting pitching and now being able to line up their guys to pitch, you know, only needing four starters instead of five, and with the days off and what have you, even being able to bring their starters in to pitch an inning or so or face one batter in relief, they're really set up better for the regular season, or I should say the postseason, than the regular season. So, you know, I agree. When you look how they went head-to-head with Atlanta, I think Atlanta's the better team, and it was proven over 162 games. But now when you get into this sort of alternate reality-type schedule and season in October, they're better than Atlanta for a short burst.
Now, what did you see out of the Cardinals in the NLDS that you're not seeing in the NLCS? And don't just tell me that they've only gotten four hits. There has to be something else that they're doing differently.
That's sort of the obvious one there.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to give you the easy way out on that one.
I don't know. You know, the pitching has been fine. I mean, certainly they pitched well enough to win both games handily. You know, it's the consistency more than anything, and that was the Cardinals' problem all year until the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. They would look great for a couple days, and you'd think, oh, here they go. They're gonna take control of the Central. They're going to win it. Then for the next 3 or 4 days, they would look terrible and lose 3 or 4 and look bad doing it. And you go, they're a mirage. They're not going to make the postseason. And this postseason's been kind of a microcosm of the regular season. They've looked great some days, and on other days they've looked terrible. And at this time of year, you have to play with consistency, and right now they haven't, because you know, they cost themselves a game in the LDS. They almost blew that series, and now they all of a sudden their bats have gone cold, and you don't know what Cardinal team you're going to get from one day to the next, and that's not a recipe to go deep.
John, I had thought on Friday that it was a must-win in Game 1 for the Yankees against the Astros. And my theory was, if the Yankees lost that one and then had to face Verlander at home and then had to face maybe Gerrit Cole, the best pitcher in the game in Game 3, that the series could potentially have been done quickly. I was surprised with the way that they went out there last night and just dominated, though.
Yeah, that was impressive. I've never been a huge Masahiro Tanaka guy, and I know he's had his moments, and he's had a good career, and he's had some big moments in the postseason, but he was tremendous last night, and that's exactly what they're going to need. Their starting pitching isn't their strength, certainly, but for him to go and set the tone like that and give up one hit and six shutout innings was really impressive. And, if I'm the Astros, I have to be scratching my head a little bit. How do I get shut out by Tanaka for six innings? But here they are, and now the Astros are really, and I hate to say it, in the second game of a series, but they really need Verlander to pitch well tonight, and they need to win this game, because if you go to New York down 2-0, and as good as the Astros are, as good as the Yankees are too, though, that series may not come back to Houston if the Yankees win tonight.
All right, I'm going to be selfish here and ask a question that interests me. So I'm going to be selfish. Excuse me to the audience. I'm so happy as a Phillies fan that Gabe Kapler will not be my manager next year. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy, good person, whatever, but he drove me crazy. He made me dislike watching the game. First of all, do you think he's going to get a managerial job again this year? And second of all, do you think we're going to see less of these robotic, analytic, follow exactly what the front office tells you to do spreadsheet managers in the future?
I think you're going to see the trend go somewhat back to the veteran manager, the guy that understands, has a better feel for the game and has a better feel for players than perhaps the analytical managers. Again, I think it's going to be partially the organization, and it's clear in Philadelphia that John Middleton, the owner, is running the show here, the CEO, and he doesn't want a stat guy. He wants a veteran manager, and that's why I think you'll see Buck Showalter get the job or possibly Joe Girardi. But, yeah, I think it's going to swing back. The pendulum always swings back on these kinds of things in baseball, and I think it is going to swing back to the old-school manager. But I will say this, and I think Gabe Kapler was a bad fit in Philadelphia, but I don't think he's a bad manager, and I think he's a bright enough guy, a sharp enough guy, that he'll be one of these guys who learns from the mistakes he made in the 2 years in Philadelphia, and when he gets a second chance to manage in the big leagues, and I think he will, because he has a good reputation within the game. I think maybe he needs to go to a smaller market or somewhere where the media spotlight isn't as bright as it is in Philadelphia, and he can make some mistakes without being in the glare of every single decision he makes being second and third guess. I think he could still be a good manager, but it just wasn't the right fit from the beginning, a new age guy like that and a pretty hard-bitten market like Philadelphia.
John, always love your stuff. Enjoy the postseason. I thank you for your insights today.
Oh, my pleasure, John. Thanks.
Always
for
good to
me.
Talk to John Parato. Joins us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.